Amen. Let's pray before we start. God, we thank you so much for this church. And we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your faithfulness through so many different seasons, so many different times. And we pray that you would help us to be faithful to you and help our faithfulness start today with the hearing of your word and with the transformation that you bring. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As Ed said, after this week, it's just him. And I just want to say, please come to church anyway. Because it's really for Jesus, right? And sometimes we have to sacrifice. I had to do that. Today we're in Matthew 11, just a few verses, 28 through 30. Let's read that together, or I'll read it to you. You don't have to actually say it out loud. Jesus says to his disciples, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Henry, do you remember your first Sunday here at this church? No, yeah, it was a long time ago. You were 2 years old. And Bonnie, you won't remember it either because you were in mommy's belly. So I remember, though. I remember that first Sunday. Do you remember that? We weren't Methodist at the time, so we were confused by the whole appointment thing. So we decided we had to come to church and worship here before we actually decided if this is where we felt God was calling us. And so I remember sneaking in on an Easter Sunday. We knew that no one would think anything of visitors coming on an Easter Sunday, so we thought it was inconspicuous. So we snuck in, and I remember kind of sneaking in through the back, and I remember being warmly greeted by Dave Carell back in the corner, who helped us find our way to the Sunday school classrooms and get Henry in there to wreak havoc for the service, and I'm sure he did. And we sat right over there in that corner, kind of where Scott and where Scott's Bilquist are sitting right now. And we worshiped with this church. We worshiped here. And I remember from the very beginning, the first few songs, we're singing probably Chris Tomlin songs or something, I remember. And Amanda and I, from the very beginning, we just looked at each other and I just said, we could do this. This feels right. This feels like home to us. And it wasn't because it was perfect, because it wasn't. I mean, I don't love Chris Tomlin songs every Sunday. And there was some quirkiness. I mean, they had a flood the week before or something, so the Sunday school classrooms were all weird. It was a weird time. But we felt at home here. We felt welcome. We felt like God was calling us here. And on that Sunday, we decided we were going to say yes to God's call to come to this church. And it has been the joy and the honor of my life to be the pastor here, to be a pastor with Pastor Ed, to serve this church. And so I just want to start this by saying thank you for that. Thank you for raising us here in this church, for raising my kids, for being that quirky, wonderful, welcoming church that you are. On my first Sunday preaching here, Ed and I kind of did a tag team thing, and I don't remember much of what I said. I'm sure you don't either, since you, I don't know if you remember last week's sermon, do you? But my first Sunday here, I remember I chose to talk about Matthew 11, 28 through 30, because it's a passage for me, it's kind of a go-to passage. when I have nothing else to talk about, I can point to this passage. It was one of the very first passages in Scripture that I remember actually reading. You know how you grow up in Sunday school and you hear the stories and stuff, but I actually remember my first time opening a Bible myself and reading Scripture and reading this passage where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And from day one, that has been to me what the gospel is all about. And so today I want to talk a little about that. If you remember the sermon, I figure I can talk about whatever I want because, first of all, you can't fire me. But also, you don't remember the last time I preached on this passage, so I could just say the same stuff. I want to talk a little bit about this passage and what's really going on here. When I first read it, I remember I was drawn to it, but I didn't know what the heck a yoke was. Do you know what a yoke is? I thought of eggs, you know. But a yoke in real life is that wooden thing that you put on cattle to pull stuff. Anyone who actually knows about this stuff is like rolling their eyes at me right now. But it's, it connects them so that they can pull the plow or whatever. In Jesus' day, it was a metaphor. It was a metaphor for obedience to a particular way of life. In the Mishnah, which is a part of the Jewish oral tradition, Rabbi Nehunia ben Hakana, I did it, in the book Pirkei Avot, which means the ethics of our fathers, said, "Whoever takes upon himself the yoke of the Torah, they remove from him the yoke of the government and the yoke of worldly concerns. And whoever breaks off from himself the yoke of the Torah, they place upon him the yoke of government and the yoke of worldly concerns." So this metaphor of a yoke was this, it meant a way of what you were really obedient to, what you worshiped with your life, what you did, the way you lived in the world. The Mishnah talks about this as how you, it's like how you, what you dedicate yourself to. So it was a metaphor for this obedience to a way of life. And different teachers in Jesus' day had different views of the Torah. Different rabbis had different understandings of what it meant, what the yoke of the Torah was. It's not much different than today, right? How many of us are in here? A bunch of us. There's probably that many different interpretations of the Bible in the room. Everybody reads it differently. There's passages of Scripture. There's lots of right ways to read the Bible. There's a few wrong ways. But there's lots of right ways. There's lots of different interpretations. There's lots of, and church history has been a beautiful dialogue of trying to follow Jesus and reinterpreting the Scripture and turning things and looking at them from a different angle. And so we take on different interpretations, different yokes. And in Jesus' day, a yoke of a rabbi was that rabbi's particular way of understanding Scripture. It was their particular teaching about what it meant to follow the law of God, to live in the world as one of God's people. And when a rabbi called the disciples, that rabbi would ask them to take his yoke upon them. So there's a context here, right? When Jesus says this, he's speaking it into a culture and a context that is used to hearing that. And in Jesus' day, to follow a rabbi to take on their yoke was a grueling process. They memorized the rabbi's words, and they memorized their interpretation of Scripture. They adopted it, and they imitated their ministry, the way they lived in the world. And they even went and multiplied that rabbi's teachings to other people. And it was difficult. To be a disciple in Jesus' day was hard. Not everybody could do it. You had to go through a long process of learning, and really only the best of the best became disciples, and only the best of the best of the best became rabbis. And it was supposed to be hard. I imagine, like, anything else, there was probably, the difficulty of following a rabbi was probably kind of a point of pride for some of them. You know, if schools do this now, right? Like, our school is hard, it's rigorous, you know, it's better to be hard. I'm defending my dissertation tomorrow, actually. Did you know that? So none of you have to call me doctor until tomorrow. And then you will. But I was kind of teasing. I emailed one of my examiners about how I should prepare, and he kind of gave me a hard time, like, oh, you shouldn't really be looking forward to this. It's, you know, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. And I think he was kind of joking, but there's kind of this point of pride to be like, this is tough. It's going to be really hard. Like, it's like better if a school is tougher. So there's like this point of pride you can imagine of a rabbi seeing their yoke is difficult and challenging. And, you know, you could be my disciple, but it's really, really hard. You gotta really work at this. Can you imagine that mindset and why that would make sense? So when Jesus comes and says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, it hits different, doesn't it? It's not, come to me, the best of the best. If you're really smart and you're really ready for this challenge, come and follow me. It's, are you tired? Are you done? You come follow me. Because my yoke is easy. My burden is light. You want to follow Jesus? You're going to find rest. It's not hard. Now, we as Christians know it is hard, right? Sometimes it is, isn't it? This life is difficult. We live in a world that's broken, and in living in a world that's broken is really hard when you're trying to live as healed and redeemed people, because sometimes that means you're going against the grain of where most people want to be going. When, you know, the time says, you know, you should really look out for yourself and, you know, find the best deal all the time and take advantage of some people because you have to and live that way. And the gospel says, no, you got to look out for other people. And sometimes the best deal isn't the better deal. And sometimes honesty means doing something that's going to hurt yourself or hurt your career or go the wrong direction from what other people have advised you to do. Sometimes it takes you to difficult places. But the point of the gospel is that in the midst of all of the anxieties of what it means to measure up, to get better, to constantly do better, Jesus calls us to a freedom from having to strive to be better. A freedom from the struggle of having to measure up in someone else's view. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. And you can find rest. That's the challenge, I think, is we think in our society that rest is about becoming rejuvenated for the work ahead, right? We rest so that we can work. In the gospel, we work because we've found rest. The work is for the rest. That's why the Sabbath takes place on the seventh day of creation, not on the first day of creation. That's a whole nother sermon. But what Jesus has invited you to as a church, as we stand here looking forward at what God is doing here in this community, in this church, and we think about all of the anxieties and the anxiety that I have, I'm sorry, added to the mix of what's going to be for our young people, what's going to be for the future, what are we going to be as a church? Do I really have to listen to Ed that much more? Sorry, I did it again. When in the midst of all of those anxieties, Jesus says, rest. It's easy. Because for Jesus, it's not your burden to carry. What the future of this church is not your problem. It's God's. This is God's church, not yours. It never belonged to you. It never belonged to you. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to Ed. This is God's church. And so you're invited to come, to worship, to be part of the ministry, to move forward into the future with hope, because God can be trusted. And you will, if you're faithful, if you take Jesus' yoke upon you, you will find rest for your souls. The fact is, and the truth is, and this is the truth that we don't always like to tell you in the church, because we want you to be involved, we want you to keep doing stuff, but you're already enough. You're already enough. You are already who God wants you to be. You're already the person that God loves. You're already enough. And so in the freedom of being enough, in the freedom of being loved by God, in the rest, in the freedom from that anxiety that you find in Jesus, you're invited to follow, to move forward in this community, and to be faithful to the yoke of Jesus Christ, because that's what it's all about. Let's pray. God, we love you and we thank you that we are enough already, that this is your church, and that our future is secure because it's yours. And we know your future. We know that you rose from the dead. We know that you are making all things new. So God, help us to trust in that future and to live boldly and courageously as your followers, people who found rest so that we can live for others and for you. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship together.